This is Money Moves on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Two Money Moves live from downtown Las Vegas, Circa Resort and Casino. Stormy Bonantoni, Jonathan Von Tobel with you. Live on SiriusXM, channel 158, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, the VSiN Watch app, wherever you're watching or listening. Thanks for hanging out with us. Also, if you missed any of the first hour of the program, you can always download Money Moves in podcast form wherever you get your podcasts. Listen on your own time. We got plenty to get to this hour in a few minutes. Talking college basketball. We've also got plenty of NFL upon us, some added bets into the account. We'll have best bets at the end of the hour. And our first step into West Coast bias that is a combo platter.
We picked a terrible day.
We really did. But it's where, typically, West Coast bias has been breaking down the West Coast games in college football. That's how this all started. But with conference championship weekend upon us, we only have the Mountain West title game, essentially. So it loses a little bit of its luster.
Pac-12 will be back, though. Next year, at this time, when we're totally still a show, we will have both the Mountain West and the Pac-12. A very riveting Northern Illinois UNLV Mountain West Championship game next year.
You know what's also wild is how many West Coast biases we've had that involve the ACC because of Cal and Stanford. What are we doing? That said, actually, let's kick things off here talking a little college basketball because last night was a fun one.
It was.
What? No.
We have breaking news. We have huge breaking
news. We do. That's my fault.
What are we talking about?
We literally
here?
Just talked about
Let's
this,
go.
And then I just
you got
my
dances,
mind
the sugar
went
plum
blank.
Fairies going on in the head.
So let me.
What's going on?
It's still basketball related.
Yes.
But let's hit this because yesterday, I believe on the air, you said this. Some reporter I've never heard of just said Giannis has requested a trade.
So it was actually, this is actually, I don't want to open the can of worms of talking about the dangers of social media and accounts that are tied to prediction markets tweeting out false information. Having said that, an account that was related to a prediction market was tweeting out false information about Giannis Antetokounmpo asking for a trade. Coincidence? I think not, because today we get the report from Shams Charania. Oh, it is officially on. Justin, Giannis Antetokounmpo and his agent, Alex
Sarasis,
have started conversations with the Milwaukee Bucks about the two-time NBA MVP's future and discussing whether his best fit is staying or elsewhere, sources tell ESPN. A resolution is expected in the coming weeks, a.k.a. Giannis is too nice to outright demand in the public that he wants out, but he does. They're 1-5 in their last six games without Giannis out there. The team is really going nowhere. They don't really have a bright future or a young player. I'm sorry, but even the emergence of a Ryan Rollins is not going to make you want to stay if you're Giannis Antetokounmpo. So he's going to be, I think, requesting a trade. We're dancing around this. You know what it reminds me of? It reminds me somewhat, a less a-holy way to handle it, Lane Kiffin. Right? Lane Kiffin didn't want to just come out and say, like, I'm leaving. Okay? No, just rip the Band-Aid off and say you want to do it. Giannis, it's the same way. He's too nice. He's too, like, I don't know. I don't want to. No, just say it. You don't want to be there anymore. So this opens a door of where he could go. There's obviously quite a few teams. And look, I will always say, I don't know what teams. There's a lot of teams that can, if they can make it work, they can make it work. The machinations of the NBA cap, the trade, you know, how you can add guys, whatever it is, the salary cap and the aprons, it's very convoluted and weird. But I would say that the original suitors, if you will, in the offseason, I would assume remain the same. The Houston Rockets, the San Antonio Spurs, teams like that, they can really try to make a push. And I think San Antonio becomes much more interesting only because they're doing more than treading water without Victor Wembanyama. I mean, they're doing well. They're 5-2, I think, in the seven games that he has missed. So if you can convince yourself that you can accelerate the timeline by going to get him, it's going to be pretty good. But I would assume that we're on the verge of Giannis Antetokounmpo potentially being moved prior to this trade deadline.
With that, the Bucks are in action tonight, and I know this was a game that was on your radar. The Pistons out from 2.5 to 4.5 point road favorites. Seen some under money here, too, from 233 to 229.5. Was there anything that you thought about getting involved in?
It was just a curiosity. I think I know it's either Kelly or Zach. That is, I think it's Zach in his article today had written up Milwaukee, and that was actually what I was thinking before I was reading his piece here. I think we're kind of at a point now with Detroit that while they're continuing to win games, like they're 3-2 in their last five, Stormy, but they've only covered one out of their last four games. They're kind of at the peak of their market power rating here again, right after a tough game against Atlanta, where you barely get by them 99-88. Now you hit the road to take on Milwaukee. I just think that situationally, it might be a little tough coming off of that game to take them on. And also, you're just probably at the peak of your market. So really lean toward Milwaukee here. I don't know what the news, if anything, does for, like, the mentality. Because here's the thing. There's a lot of noise around Milwaukee. I don't know if you saw this other report. Again, I always take everything with a grain of salt nowadays. But there's some thought that Doc Rivers could be moving up to, like, an executive role, a la what Brad Stevens did with the Celtics, and then moving on from being the head coach of the Bucks. So there's a lot of smoke in Milwaukee. And obviously, the cliche, where there's smoke, there's fire. Who knows if it's a distraction, but I do think playing against Detroit might be the way to go, but wasn't strong enough to actually pull the trigger, so I'm sure the Bucks will win by 20 tonight.
And last month, didn't Giannis even, like, scrub his social media of all of his Milwaukee stuff?
Okay. No. See, this is why you got to really follow things.
Okay.
He deleted all of his posts up to a certain date, and I believe that date was that last post was him wishing Kobe Bryant a happy birthday. Or something like that. Something Lakers related. I don't know what it was. Either way, he'll be a Laker, I'm sure.
Let's go to college basketball here these last couple minutes. A couple notable results from last night. UNC wins it outright at Kentucky. So third game this season that Wildcats have been tested against a good team. They come up short. The defense was there. You talked about how their offense just goes on these lulls and can't work their way out of it. Duke also gets it done against Florida. And I know you were hoping Florida would lose bigger, just a one-point game. So Duke kind of escapes, had to get it done. So they remain undefeated. This Florida front court is so good at pounding the boards, getting rebounds. Backcourt is the question. So yeah. I know you were talking about potentially buying in on Florida. Big picture, national championship-wise, if you do that, you're banking on them getting that figured out. Do you think they will?
I don't know, man. Xavier Lee, I texted our buddy Adam Burke yesterday. I know he doesn't like the big games, but this is a pretty good game. And also, Xavier Lee used to play in the Ivy League, so I'd assume that he's watched him a little bit here. But, dude, he doesn't look good. Like, it's really wild. It's uncontrolled. The offense overall really does kind of get stuck in the mud because of this backcourt. Lee last night, 4 points, four rebounds, one assist, 1 of 10 from the floor, Stormy, and 1 of 6 from three-point range. That's been a big problem. Boogie Fland was fine. You know, he's been kind of up and down. Gave you 16 points, a rebound, and 3 steals. Had a pretty bad shot at the near the end of that game in crunch time. But other than that, at least gave you a little bit of what you expected from signing Boogie Fland. But if Lee's not going to work out here, I'm not going to pretend to know the intricacies of the backups on this roster, but from what I've watched, I don't know if you've really got anything that you're banking on to start a point guard outside of Lee that's going to take you to winning a championship. So I think you're a little worried, like, in the grand scheme of things. Look, do I think they're going to win, like, 5 games? No. They're going to be a very good team. They're going to win a bunch of games. But if you're talking about your limitations as a championship roster, that's going to be a very big problem. And the flip side of this, too, you mentioned the front court for Florida, but holy smokes was Cam Boozer impressive yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
29.6 rebounds, absolutely everywhere. Really impressive. I will have to ask Zach Cohen next time he joins us. I think he's on with us on Fridays because Zach does a lot of NBA draft stuff, where he thinks that Boozer's going to land because there's a thought that he's not going to be the top pick. But the versatility of a guy his size, that was on display yesterday in a really big way, and big reason why Duke got that win. But I think you're worried about Florida in the big grand scheme of things, despite the cover.
We also saw UConn win cover at Kansas. You were wondering what USC would do at Oregon. They get the win 82-77. Did you end up firing on any futures then?
No, right, but it's worth asking. So we brought this up yesterday, and I was going to bring this up on Pod to the Futures, but we did not get a chance to do it with Adam Burke yesterday. But you mentioned it. USC dispatches Oregon 82-77. UConn gets that win, but you see here as a 2.5-point favorite, they go out and get it done. I was kind of just curious. You know, they're still kind of on the fringes of the top 25, depending on where you look. Ken Pom has them 26th now. Bartorvik's got them 29th. Haslam Metrics is a lot lower on the Trojans. They're 42nd in their rankings, but I do think, you know, at 100-1, this team continues to kind of churn these wins out, and Musselman's a good coach. I'm going to be curious to see if these odds start to dip and if they start to become a team that could be a force in the Big Ten. But the Big Ten just looks so good, man.
Yeah.
You do wonder if they're going to be able to crack that, what looks like, I should say, a very firm ceiling. We were talking about this on the Pod to the Futures when you look at the makeup of that conference. Obviously now the favorite to win the national championship in Michigan. Yeah, Purdue, who was a preseason darling. Michigan State, as we just mentioned, continues to rip off wins. Looks very impressive. Even teams like two-loss Illinois or Indiana, who we're going to see later tonight, like, there seems to be so many good teams here. Yeah. Is there enough seats at the table that USC is actually going to be able to hold out and keep this pace? I don't think so, but it is pretty interesting because they have been ripping off some of these wins, but they're all pretty tight, and it makes you think that the coin's going to flip tails at some point. 3-point win over Boise, 2-point win over Seton Hall, this 5-point win over Oregon. that you would assume is going to dry up at some point. Maybe it's this Saturday at home against Washington.
Some big games coming up tonight as well. Ranked on ranked matchup between Louisville and Arkansas. You got number 22 Indiana and Minnesota, Clemson, Alabama, NC State, Auburn, Virginia, Texas. Anything catch your eye in particular?
Yeah, I think there was two. So Clemson, Alabama should be a fun game. Alabama opened up as a 9.5-point favorite, a total 165.5. Both teams have been playing relatively well to start the year. Alabama's schedule has been brutal. I mean, so this is first off, and we'll have to ask, because I think a lot of the college basketball situational handicappers would tell you that these first games back from these big tournaments are a little bit of a letdown. You know, Alabama comes out here, plays in the Players' Era tournament during the holiday, then finally gets back home. Same thing, by the way, for a team like Minnesota, who was out on the road for, I think it was the Acrisure series or whatever it's called. But either way, Alabama and Clemson tonight should be a ton of fun. I feel like 9.5's a lot. Contrasting styles here. Clemson does play a lot slower than Alabama does, but both are pretty analytically sound teams. A lot of threes, a lot of shots at the rims. Would lean a little bit toward Alabama here, okay, or should be toward Clemson here in this spot, Freudian slip, against Alabama. And right now the market would disagree because it's up to 10.5. We'll see if there's some buyback. There usually is, but small lean toward Clemson. Nothing worth jumping on at this point for me, though.
Worth noting, there is so much college basketball content up at VSiN.com right now. And for those of you who haven't joined us as a full VSiN Pro subscriber yet, we have extended our Black Friday sale for a full week for just $60. You get full VSiN Pro access to everything we do here at the network through May 1st. That includes the daily best bets from our show hosts and guests, betting splits, 24/7 video, full coverage of every major sport. Plus, our college football playoff betting guide is dropping next week. The timing couldn't be better. The Black Friday special ends after Sunday. So don't miss out. VSiN.com/subscribe is how you can sign up. Again, VSIN.com/subscribe.
You're watching Money Moves here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back here on Money Moves, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Stormy Bonantoni, Jonathan Von Tobel with you. We have an update. Giannis Antetokounmpo update. Go for it.
I guess the Knicks are the only team that Giannis has expressed an interest in over the summer.
And you said you would do what now if that were to happen?
I would run upon my sword.
Why?
Because I am very anti-New York to the day that I die. My last breath.
That's why we have a segment called West Coast Bias.
It's very true. It's the impetus behind it. Very true. Very true.
The way you get so angry with, and I'm not trying to like isolate half of our audience here because I love our New York brethren.
They know.
But
they
you go in on them.
My disdain for New York is so strong that it's actually one of those things where, you know, you turn right enough, you go left. Mm-hmm. I have an outstanding invitation from Mark Melusis to go out. He wants to convert me. So, like, he said if I go out to New York that he will buy me a ticket to a Rangers game and whatnot. So you could see just how great it is.
That's good. You know what? I actually think you would fit in great there. For as much as
that's
you.
That's the ironic part.
Yeah, you really would. It would work for you, I think.
I'm very much a, hey,
get out of my way.
Yeah, without the accent.
Very good. Let's talk a little stick and puck here. Speaking of the Rangers, should get a good amount of hockey here on the program. Actually, the next couple days, tomorrow in studio, we're going to have VSiN NHL analyst Jonathan Davis in studio. We're on Friday. We'll have Mike Palm, and I know you always have him on Fridays, but I haven't got to be a part of those conversations in a while. I know he's pretty thrilled. He's been on a mean streak with the Minnesota Wild lately. And
yeah, what is he calling it? The Great Wall of Minnesota.
The Wall of St. Paul.
Yeah.
He, like, in terms of goals against per game, and I know Wallstedt's only played 18 games compared to what some of these other number one goaltenders have. I mean, he's tops in the league right now. Mm-hmm. He's down to 10-1 for the Calder Trophy. Matthew Schaefer is an odds on -250 favorite, but he's right there, third shot on the board. So it's been fun. We have a short slate on the ice today, just 5 games. But as I mentioned earlier in the first hour, pretty nice price-wise, because in hockey, typically you see some of these really big favorites sometimes, mm-hmm. and you have to get creative with how you want to play on certain games. But we don't really have any of those massive favorites. Biggest favorite on the board is Washington tonight, -155 on the road at San Jose. Where I am looking here, the first game that kind of drew my attention was the Ducks hosting the Mammoth. Been a pretty rough start to the road trip for Utah. They lost their last game at of their homestand before they dropped three straight so far on this road trip at Dallas, at St. Louis, even at San Jose in a 6-3 loss on Monday. The Ducks are going to be another challenge for them. Those young guns have been playing really well, 9-3 at home this season, 16-9-1 overall. Mm-hmm. They did need overtime to beat the Mammoth in their one meeting earlier this season, but I feel like I was surprised by this minus 108 home price. And it's you talk about this all the time in other sports, the what am I missing special. I don't know why this line is what it is. So I'm rolling with the Ducks today, minus 108, and I think the skid continues for the Mammoth. Like, maybe this is just one of those spots where they think that Utah's got to break out of this at some point with how they've played this season. But I like Anaheim here, so rolling with it.
I mean, not all the what am I missing specials are ones that go against you. I know we remember the ones that blow up in your face, and there have been quite a few. But really, if you think about it, the essence of sports betting is a whole bunch of what am I missing here.
Absolutely.
I'm going to bet the other side.
Totally. Stars, Devils, another game that I'm involved in here. And I even said in the commercial break when I brought it up, I'm probably going to regret backing the Stars in this spot. Basically a pick 'em game, Dallas minus 105 in New Jersey, Devils minus 115, total 5.5 here. Stars been one of the hotter teams in the league, 10-1-2 their last 13 games, but they're on the second half of a back-to-back, did lose in overtime to the aforementioned Rangers last night, and lost more than the game. Tyler Seguin saw the report this morning, torn ACL. He's going to be done for the rest of the season. He is one of their veteran leaders, so that's a loss. Also last night, Jake Ottinger, I guess, had a little bit of a stomach bug, so Casey DeSmith ended up starting in his place. He is expected to be back in net tonight, and so I don't know. I'm hoping if he's starting, that means that he's perfectly fine, and whatever he was dealing with yesterday is out the window. So that's part of what I'm banking on, is they have their number one guy back in net. The last four times the Stars have lost also, they have bounced back the next game. They've had a lot of success this season on the second half of back-to-backs as well, and there's a rest issue for both teams. Like, it's not just like the Stars have the rest disadvantage here. Both teams have played, I want to say, 6 games in the last 9 or 10 days. Okay. So I view this as a pretty evenly matched game, and I lean Stars. The Devils, yes, have been really good this year, second to Carolina in the Metropolitan Division. They're coming off a pretty emotional one against the Blue Jackets the other night, 4 fights and an injury to Brendan Dillon. Dillon, by the way, is expected to be back tonight, so that is good for them. And I lean over in this game too. I imagine, like I said, because of the way they've had to play as much as they have, probably some tired legs in this one on both sides. Yeah. So just a lean, no play there, but I did end up on the Stars at what I feel like is just a cheap price.
So we talk about all the time with, like, second legs of back-to-backs in the NBA, and, like, the fatigue is the factor. But I always like to bring up, you know, a lot of the times fatigue actually manifests in the second half, not the first half, because, you know, you're getting up for a game, whatever, the adrenaline's there to start. But then when you start to feel it, it's when you're actually playing extended minutes as the game goes along. Is there a similar trend? Do you feel that way in hockey? Like, do you see the fatigue manifest in a way near the end of these games, or is that just
probably more so? So if that was something that intrigued you, you could target maybe like more goals later on in the game if you're doing this live period to period type stuff, just because, guys, I mean, it is such a fatigue sport in general. The legs do get heavy. But just nothing that at least stood out to me from a betting perspective in this one. Also, like, typically, I feel like I'm more apt to fade a team on the second half of a back-to-back if they won game one, but because they lost it, they're kind of in that bounce-back spot, feel like they need it. I like the Stars side on this one. The biggest line move we've seen today is in the Sabres and Flyers. Buffalo taking money from a plus 110 dog to as high as in the market, minus 135 as a road favorite now. DraftKings and kind of your consensus number, minus 125. Buffalo is getting healthier, more guys in the lineup. They're generating more scoring chances. You look at the expected goals numbers, they've gone up. 5-on-5 metrics, really good lately. Won their last two games. I say all that, and they also did get shut out 5-0 against the Devils, but haven't been great on the road. But this was one I kind of went back and forth on, because, you know, when we've talked about the Philadelphia Flyers in the past, I've been very against them. Mm-hmm. Like, I am not a Flyers fan. I think a lot of their numbers haven't been legit, but they've been proving me wrong more often than not when I've bet them. The time to fade them would have been on Monday, and they did lose 5-1 to the Pens. That was a good spot to play against them. It was their first game home after a long trip, third game in 4 days. Tonight, I just didn't really know what to do with it. I thought this line move was maybe a little bit too aggressive. So for once, I leaned Flyers at home. Just don't know if I can get there. High total in this one, and I lean over as well. Your graphic on the screen says 6.5. There are some sixes out there. So I would be more interested in paying like a -115 for the flat six than the 6.5 if you can help it. That's all that really I was interested in today. But I'm excited, like I said, that we're going to have a lot more hockey to talk about this week. And tomorrow, I think it'll be fun to dive into the futures market a little bit and see some different things that stand out.
Okay, I have a question.
What?
So, leader.
Still mad about Austin Matthews? Because, yeah, that's...
No, that was just a bit. Yeah, I just needed something to sweat. There wasn't even a sweat.
Okay.
No, big picture here. Your Ducks,
yeah,
they are the leaders in the Pacific Division. They are 16-9-1, right?
Yes.
Best goal differential in the Pacific Division right now, too, I believe. It's plus 12. Why are they still 7-1? There's clearly a resistance in the market on this Ducks team. I know that talking to you before the season, talking to Jonathan Davis, who's going to be with us tomorrow, I believe.
Yes.
I'm going to try to get him in. That you guys were high on them to potentially be a playoff team.
Yeah.
But we're talking about a team that is now leading its division with a good goal differential that is still 7-1 to win the Pacific. Why is the market resisting this team?
I think probably because they are such a young team that's been riding so hot early, and there's still so much of the season to go. And naturally, from, I mean, just a liability perspective as well, how many bets have probably been made on teams like the Golden Knights,
sure,
the Oilers, the Kings. Like, they're going to get that early, what's the word I'm looking for? Like, respect, mm-hmm, and trust in the market. So from a liability standpoint and just a belief that these teams that have struggled to an extent are going to get on track. Like, look at how bad the Edmonton Oilers have played, yet they're still above the Ducks because of what we expect that offense to be able to do, even though they've had the defensive and goaltending shortcomings.
Okay.
So I think a lot of it has to do with that. The Golden Knights, too, like a team that when they get healthy, you feel like they can beat anyone and be as good as anyone in the National Hockey League. 7-1, as much as I like the Ducks, I don't think they're going to win the division.
Was their pre-total or preseason point total was 84.5? Does that sound about right? It's up to 93.5.
Yeah, that's kind of...
Is that a big number?
It's a big number for a team that you would not have expected,
yeah,
that to be their,
I mean, going
ceiling.
Back, using last year as the reference point, you know, at least in the Western Conference and specifically in the Pacific, the three teams that made it out of the division or the three division leaders all had over 100 points. So that puts you in the range of potentially, at least last season, missing out of the postseason,
yeah,
entirely because your two wildcard teams had, yeah, 96 and 97. So my whole question is, I'm trying to find something here. Like, should I be buying into the resistance that the market is showing here and maybe shorting Anaheim after a hot start?
Potentially, but I still think they're really good. So I don't want to bet against them because, as you know, like, I do have futures invested on them. So I want to continue to root for them. I just don't think the division is necessarily where that's going to be. And even though we don't have AI player prop projections for the NHL yet, I hope it's coming. Listen to me, Opta. We do for the NBA and the NFL as the season winds down in the NFL. We got week 14 coming up. If you are looking for some potential advantages in the market, check out the VSiN AI player prop projections, VSiN.com/subscribe, how you get unlimited access.
You're watching Money Moves here on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Want to try to out-handicap one of our own here at VSiN? Here's your chance. First bet, giving you a free shot to take down VSiN's Mike Somich in a five-race showdown this coming Saturday, December 6th. We're talking the 8 Allen Jerkins at Gulfstream and 4 graded stakes at Aqueduct, including the G2 Cigar Mile. Just submit your $2 win place mythical picks and try to end the day with more cash than Mike. Anyone who does will split the $5,000 grand prize credited right to your first bet account. Contest opens Thursday, December 4th at first.com/VSIN. That's the number one, ST.com/VSIN. Free to enter, bragging rights included. Get after Mike while you still can. Stormy Bonantoni, Jonathan Von Tobel with you. Back here on Money Moves, VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Did you mention your breaking news here on the air or off the air? About Kansas State.
Oh, wow. It was off the air. Thank you for that. Wow, you're the worst. We are going to do a breakdown tomorrow, I believe, of our bet for Avery Johnson and Dylan Raiola. Would love for all of you guys to chime in on who you think should win it once all of the metrics are officially out there. But I jokingly said in the commercial break that Avery Johnson was so bad he played Chris Kleiman into retirement.
So for those who don't know, Stormy and I have a bunch of show bets. I have won 3 of them, I believe, or on the verge of winning 3 of them.
You're 2-1. I think I'm about to tie it up.
What are the two?
The Stanley Cup final.
Yeah.
And then I won Oregon Penn State.
Yeah, as evidenced.
And then what did you win? What was the other one you won?
I know New Mexico,
New Mexico,
State.
San Diego State.
I thought there was another one there.
Nope,
there, though.
Okay. Those were the three.
Well, the other one I think is the one we're deciding.
Then the other
here.
One is Avery and Dylan Raiola.
For our audience, our show bet here is who is going to have the better season, Avery Johnson or Dylan Raiola. I am on the side of Dylan Raiola, but of course Dylan Raiola's season cut short by injury. So Stormy is putting off how we are going to debate and finalize who had the better season despite the fact that Raiola did not finish the year. So at money move no money moves at VSiN.com.
yes, money moves at VSiN.com, at me JVT, at Storm Bonantoni, at VSiN Live. Those are the best ways to get in contact with us. But listen, if you're going to chime in on the conversation, I need you to add some research. Okay, you can't just be saying, oh, I think that Raiola is better. No, listen, I already did half of the research on this.
All you did was accumulate. All you did was look at his passing yards.
That's not true at all.
Like, of course, although, he's going to have more base stats. He played more games.
2,270 pass yards to just 2,000.
Dylan Raiola got his coach an extension.
441 yards. No other jobs trying to poach you got him an extension. Also had 441 yards on the ground and 8 rushing touchdowns to Raiola's 0 rushing touchdowns and negative 87 rush yards. But there's a lot more to that. Again, we will have the discussion tomorrow. That said, it is a West Coast bias day, and you have officially made a play, if I understand correctly, on the Mountain West title game.
Yeah, I'm going to play this game. This is like a super what are we missing special to invoke it one more time here. UNLV closed as a 13.5-point underdog in Boise in October, got boat raced, gave up over 50 points, and walked away with his tail between its legs in a non-cover, catching 13.5. Now they're catching 4? What's the difference here? I mean, even if you want to make the argument that Maddox Madsen coming back not fully healthy is a downgrade for Boise, is a what you perceive to be non-healthy Maddox Madsen worth a near 10-point downgrade for Boise State between these two?
Well, and here's the thing, too. It's like if the market or if bettors are saying, well, UNLV is an improving team, and they've been better since. Mm-hmm. Look at who they played.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, what are you supposed to take away from Colorado State, Utah State, Hawaii, and Nevada?
I would agree. And by the way, you're mentioning the teams that they lost or they played. You're mixing up the fact, or I would say covering up the fact that they lost one of those games, which of course would be, or excuse me,
they lost those four.
They won those four. They were in a tight game, I should say.
Oh, double overtime.
Should have lost the game, is what I was meant to say, against Utah State, 29-26, where the kicker for Utah State shanks one at the end of regulation that ultimately gets them to overtime where they win. But you're right. They handled the rest of the business, took care of Hawaii at home, blew out Nevada. To your point, congratulations. This defense has been awful for UNLV throughout the entire course of the year. One of the worst run defenses in the country. How many teams are we at so far in the country right now?
136 is the number that comes to my mind, but it might be 138.
All right, well, 136 is the ranking for UNLV's run defense. So I don't understand why this big change. And if you want to invoke, well, you know, Boise, if you look at the times.
Yeah, it is. It's 136.
Yeah, there you go. So, and if you want to look at Boise and say, well, Boise hasn't been the same. I mean, I would agree with that to an extent. Having said that, getting Maddox Madsen back is going to help them in some shape or form. So, I don't know. You go back to that last matchup just over a month ago, month and a half, and how that played out and what the number was to where we're at here with no real big dramatic change. I don't know. It just seems like that should be a little higher for Boise State. So I did. I laid 4.
I need to look to see what Boise State's team total is, because that might be an angle too. I was looking at the total. If this was not a championship game, I would have fired on the total over immediately. Mm-hmm. But I wonder if maybe there's some element of playing slightly better defense because of what's on the line here. Not saying we're going to get it, because as you pointed out, like, UNLV's defense is awful. They are so porous. They allow 6.3 yards per carry this season. If you look at what Boise State did in that first matchup with them, 56 points. Madsen has 4 touchdowns, did have a pick, but an 89.2 PFF passer grade. Dylan Riley ran all over them, a career best day, 201 yards and a touchdown on just 15 carries.
Mm-hmm.
86 of those yards after contact. So a run defense that already gives up, what did I say, 6.3 yards per carry, was giving up 13.4 yards per attempt to him that day. And then you have a Broncos defense that can also give up some big plays and isn't particularly great either. So I think we're going to get points on both sides. Anthony Calandria and Jaden Thomas, their offense is good enough to beat anyone. Whoa. It's their defense that's the problem.
Put some respect on the now offensive player of the year in the Mountain West, Mr. Calandria. Thank
there
you very
we go.
Much.
There we go. But they have had to carry this team because of how porous the defense has been. So I think we're going to get a ton of points in this one.
Yeah.
My one fear was just the championship element, and that's why I haven't bet it yet. So I'm trying to see if there's maybe some other angles to get involved from a point perspective.
I mean, as I always like to say, you know, I'm motivated every morning to wake up and get $1 million, and yet I go home every day without it. So
fair.
Motivation can only get you so far.
Are you telling me to just do it? Is that where you're going with this?
Of course.
I don't know. We've also got some West Coast, Best Coast hoops coming up. Cal Bapp at number 9, BYU. BYU hoops would make the cut line for the college football playoff. Number 9 ranked team.
Yeah,
in the
there
country.
You go.
6-1 on the year. Lone loss to UConn. Only covered 4 of the 7 games, though. We've seen this bet up in favor of the Cougs from 17.5 to where are we? 20.5 now?
Yeah.
Total up as well, 3 points. KenPom has this 84-66, so an 18-point win. Total 150. Total for the game right now, though, 151.5.
I mean, really, it's just the morbid curiosity of watching BYU, is it not? One would assume that they are going to get this done. We haven't seen them since, of course, playing Dayton back on November 28th, which is only about 4 or 5 days. We talked about that situation where, hey, you know, coming back home and how do teams handle it after going out and playing in some of these neutral site tournaments. So maybe you can kind of catch BYU sleeping a little bit here. You do have Clemson coming up on the 9th and a little less than a week away. That's out of Madison Square Garden if you're BYU. So a sandwich spot, look ahead, whatever it is situationally, maybe it's a bad spot for BYU. But I'm just going back to being curious to see A.J. DeBonsa and this crew and what they're going to look like as a big favorite against Cal Baptist. And, look, Cal Baptist isn't awful by any stretch. They're a top 130 team in KenPom, so top half of the country. If you look at the way that they play, relatively slow team, so they can slow this down. Not the slowest you'll see by any stretch, but 207th in the country in tempo. And a very good offensive rebounding team. They have rebounded up to this point about 39% of their missed shot attempts. So if you can slow the game down, if you can generate some second chance opportunities, the problem is, and we'll talk about this much deeper when we get to the NCAA tournament, but Stormy, you always talk about how you spring upsets. You do it with really slow pace, and you do it with a high rate of threes. Cal Baptist does not take any threes. They're 347th in the country at three-point rate so far, okay. And they only shoot 31%. So spot, I guess you could look at this and say, yeah, like big number for BYU is looking to head to MSG next week. But I would say I just want to watch and see what BYU looks like on paper and think they actually have a pretty decent shot at potentially covering this number.
San Diego State hosting Utah Valley tonight. We've talked a lot about how the Aztecs look bad,
had
the ugly double overtime loss to Troy, get blasted by Michigan by 40, beat up on Oregon, but then come back down to earth the next day against Baylor. Market is moving against them from a 9.5, 10-point favorite this morning, just 8.5 right now, total 144.5.
Yeah, we see this all the time. I mean, sometimes the market will just move a little bit in toward the direction of the projections. You know, the projection here is about an 8-point win, so we're kind of in that range right now for San Diego State. I mean, you mentioned, though, I think the curiosity here is, you know, what is this team? Is this a team that couldn't miss a shot against Oregon back on the 25th, right before Thanksgiving? Or is this a team that is one of the worst cover teams in the country, did get pushed to double overtime by Troy, and has had some of its issues, especially on defense? I think that's going to be something worth watching here. But San Diego State, to give them some credit, and I think a lot of it stems from the Oregon game, they do shoot the ball relatively well. They don't shoot a ton, but they're a 40% three-point shooting team here. Want to see what this offense looks like after a weird, disjointed start to the season.
And hypothetically, you would imagine should be a get-right game against a program in Utah Valley that has already lost their 2 games against Mountain West opponents so far this season. Okay, you hear the music. We got to step aside real quickly when we come back, wrapping things up with our best bets of the day. And I've got some opinions on Bears-Packers we're going to hit next.
You're watching Money Moves here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This Wednesday edition of Money Moves, Stormy Bonantoni, Jonathan Von Tobel with you. Remember, if you missed any of the program today, you can always listen on your own time. Money Moves available wherever you get your podcasts. Let's start here going out to Chicago, where the Bears are currently the top seed in the NFC, which never gets more normal to say. The retooled offensive line has been awesome, JVT. They rank top 5 in the league in both pass and run block win rates. And while the run game has taken off, they have not had the same success, though, through the air. Head coach Ben Johnson did not not mince words when discussing the issues with the pass game yesterday.
We got to fundamentally be correct. The primary receiver, when he's open, we want to make sure we hit him. And then all of our pass catchers, we just harped on it today. We need to be more disciplined in our route detail. It's not where it needs to be. Our depth's not proper all the time. Our steps isn't. And so everybody's got a role to play to get this pass game cleaned up. It's not where it needs to be. We're winning in spite of our passing game, not because of it. And none of us are pleased with that right now.
So he said it right there, winning games in spite of the pass game. How sustainable is what they have been doing?
I'm done.
What?
I'm done trying to catch what the Chicago Bears team has been doing up to this point. I mean, seriously, I will say I'm very tempted to come in with Green Bay this week under a touchdown. Again, we'll invoke the similar opponent and where the number was. You went out to Philadelphia. You were catching 7. Now here you are well under 6 against a team that I think you would agree higher rated than Philadelphia at this point, Green Bay. Mm-hmm. Whether it's a point, whatever it is, you can see the evidence here that either Green Bay has been downgraded, but I would most certainly guess that Chicago's been upgraded to an extent by the betting market. So I want to say, how sustainable is it, Stormy? It's not. And that they should probably lose at some point, and maybe it's even here against Green Bay. But tried it multiple times, tried it with the Vikings 2 weeks ago, tried it by teasing down the Philadelphia Eagles. I mean, am I going to continue to beat my head against this wall? Probably. But the answer to your question is it's not sustainable given the way that this team has played. But we've seen crazier things over the span of an NFL season.
So that's how I feel, and that's why I think this is the week to go against them. And I do want to give you some numbers, too, because the run game has been awesome. They rush yards per game, 153.8, second in the NFL. Yards per rush, 5th. They are number 2 in rushing success rate. Then the pass game numbers are pretty abysmal. The 52.8% completions, 31st in the league. Off target percentage, 32nd. How many teams are there in the NFL again?
32.
Yeah, not good. Number 24 in passing success rate, Caleb Williams, 40.4 completion percentage when passing the ball at least 10 yards downfield. 30th in the NFL, 26th in red zone completion percentage. Now, he has had a couple really good games, but when they're against the Steelers, Bengals, and Cowboys earlier in the season defenses, there's not really much I can take from that. So I think against a Green Bay pass defense that ranks 6th in the NFL, a run defense that has the potential to neutralize that run game, at least to an extent, because they're top 12 in almost every metric against the run as well, that offense is finally going to slow down. And with me thinking Green Bay is the better team in general, do I like them laying the 6.5? Yes, sure, fine. But our audience already knows what I'm going to do with this, JVT. You already know what I'm going to do with this. It's same game.
Draw a line through
it. Same game teaser time. You bring the Packers down to win the game, and you take the under 50.5. I was looking at the weather in this one. It's going to be pretty cold on Sunday, too. High of 23, 10-mile-an-hour winds, gusts around 20. So the pass game already probably going to be taken down just a little bit. Full picture, Packers-Lions on Thanksgiving, yes, went over over that number, but it was in the comfy confines of Ford Field, the only game that's reached that mark for Green Bay in the last 6 weeks, just the second time since week 4. Bears don't play super high-scoring games either, going over this number just twice in the last 10 weeks. So give me under 50.5 and the Packers to win in a same-game teaser.
I hope you
get it. I'm pretty excited about it.
You like it?
I do. There is also another soundbite that I want to play for you today.
Okay.
So we have a big game this weekend in the AFC playoff picture with the Chiefs and Texans going head-to-head. Here is Andy Reid's interesting take on his team's mindset down the stretch.
We're going to go after you every game. And, you know, that's how we roll. We're going to try to tickle your tonsils on every play, every game. And but that's the attitude that we're coming in with. And then you let the chips fall where they may. But at the same time, you got to make sure you take care of the small things here that we've got rolling. We've got to make sure that we get rid of some of these mistakes. But there's not a game that I go into that I don't think we're going to get after you.
Did anyone continue listening after tickle your tonsils?
Because is that what he said? My thing cut out.
What? Yeah. No, it did not.
No, it didn't.
What does that mean?
I don't know. I mean, I think it means he's going to shove his tongue down their throats. Isn't that what it is? Like, isn't tonsil hockey? Isn't that what that is?
I don't know.
That's a weird thing.
I don't know where that came from, Andy. Where'd that come from?
Did he mean testicles?
No, what? Where are you going there? I don't know. That's why I'm saying I don't know what it means. Does that make you want to bet on the Chiefs more or less now? That's all I'm trying to figure out.
I mean, less probably. But I kind of like the Texans here. So the Texans are treating me well over the last couple of weeks. Might as well just continue to ride this. I mean, this defense is putting them in every single game. Now, here's the thing, as we discuss a lot with the way you're power rated, this is clearly an upgrade for Houston because the Colts were catching this number and the Colts were laying 4, 3.5 against this Texans team just last week. So this is clearly kind of top of the market. But since I've been riding the Texans train, might as well try this one more time. But we're probably at the point where you should probably jump off at this point right now. Mm. But how do you not buy into this Texans defense the way they've been playing so far?
And, I mean, how many times have we given the stat this week about the Chiefs in close games? Mm-hmm. If you anticipate this being a close game, do you really trust the Kansas City Chiefs anymore? I don't know how you can. They were, yes, 11-0 in those games a year ago, but 1-6 in this instance this year. And it's not the offense really that's been the problem. It's the defense's inability to get off the field late in these games. I was going through game logs this morning. Week 5, they're up 4 with 1:45 to go. Jacksonville goes down the field and scores. They don't get the ball back until there's 23 seconds left on the clock. Week 9 at Buffalo, Bills are up 7 with 4 minutes to play. They hang on to the ball. Kansas City doesn't get it back until there's 22 seconds left. Week 11 at Denver, tie game under 3 minutes. Broncos offense hangs on to the ball, kicks a game-winning field goal. And then last week against Dallas, they're down 3 with 3:27 to go, never got the ball back. Like, all you need is your defense to get a stop and give Patrick Mahomes the ball with a little bit of time left and you feel better. 22 seconds isn't going to cut it anymore.
Yeah.
So, like, that would be frustrating to me, I guess, if you are a Kansas City backer this season and you've been laying any of these short spreads, just the inability for the defense to get off the field. It's not trustworthy.
Yep. I would agree. I mean, I need the Texans to lose this game, so I'm hoping I'm wrong. Because this
for the division,
yeah. Well, the Jacksonville Indianapolis 1-2 exact is more alive than ever. It's literally where the standings are right now. So I need the Texans to fall off here and have this winning streak come to an end at some point. So I'm hoping I'm wrong here.
All right, last couple minutes. Let's go through the best bets of the day. I know you gave out most of them already throughout the course of the show, but let's recap and anything else you added.
Let's see. Since we're at the NFL, threw in a teaser here for the week. Seahawks -1.5, Broncos -1.5. So teasing the two favorites down in the spots this weekend. Like it. So let's go there. Boise State -4. We discussed that. Hawks -3 and Nets +8. And remember, too, as part of the NFL, earlier in the week did add right away on Monday Chargers +3, and it looks like that might have been the right move because there's a lot of 2.5s juice to the favorite side. Pop it up right now.
For me in the NFL, as I mentioned, Packers-Bears same-game teaser. I'm doing it. Packers win the game under 50.5. Two offenses that have had their struggles this year and potential, I mean, not potential, it's going to be a cold weather game with some wind. In the NHL, the Ducks money line, Stars money line, both at sub -110 prices. And then officially adding Georgia -2.5 as well.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
The SEC.
Let's go.
Yes. So we're going to have a team play on the Bulldogs to finally beat Alabama. Can you finally beat them?
I know. I think we probably had more before. But we should track our team plays as well. I know Matthew Stafford, MVP, is one. Mm-hmm. This one with Georgia. Can you think of any in the past that have either been successful or failed? I think we were both on the Colts against the Chiefs, were we not?
Yeah.
Okay, there we go.
Yeah, that was a fun one with a Modelo in hand over at Mega Bar.
That's right. And no grumpy Cincinnati Bengals fan that you were trying to fight?
None of that. That was one time. And he was trying to fight you, so I had to protect you. You're my friend.
That's right.
But yeah, I think that's where I'm going today. Throughout the course of the week, I imagine continue to add for conference championship week. I did it yesterday. I already told you I'm on JMU. That number keeps moving, by the way, in favor of them. I think
what's it up to?
23.5.
Okay.
And I think I saw 24 as well. That's the mindset, though, that JMU, final data point opportunity that you're going to have. And if you want to have the opportunity, should Duke win that ACC championship, to leapfrog them?
I mean, they're the only team that I think would not benefit. Like, we keep talking about these conference championship games, not meaning anything, but you don't get docked for whatever happens in the game. Yeah. I feel like JMU is the one that even in a win, you would get docked if you don't win enough or win by enough.
Absolutely. And I am still waiting on the Big 12 title game to see where ultimately that number goes. I got a tweet yesterday, I don't know if you saw it, that said I was like a lawyer for Big 12.
Oh, I did see it.
Presenting my case.
I was busy sifting through all the BYU fans tweeting at you.
No, they're my people. On that note, we gotta call it a day here on Money Moves. Thanks, everybody, for hanging out with us. We'll be back, though, tomorrow, same time, same place. Coming up next, Money Moves with – I mean, sorry, Follow the Money after Money Moves with Mitch and Paul.
Follow the Money Moves.
Sal Powell on the show like he is every Wednesday. Going to be a good one. What does he think of his beloved Eagles?